This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 15, 2017. The 18th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I love nothing more than getting up here and talking about the deeper things of spirituality and the theological things that we never consider here and there. I love it. But I also emphasize a whole lot that our faith is real. And by real, I mean a tangible reality. I mean it's something that we live. Today's second reading, St. Paul speaks of the reality of our faith. And he speaks of it in the context of stuff, things that we have in this world. Oh, we're Catholics and we're not bound by things of this world. Yeah, you are. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. And being part of the world, we have to understand the associated stuff that comes with the world. And a lot of that stuff is blessings. It's not superfluous. It's not something that we should shun. It is something that the Lord, with which he blesses us. We have to appreciate that everything that we have materially is from him. You can do very dangerous things with Scripture by taking it out of context. You can do heinous things with Scripture. You can put souls in jeopardy by taking Scripture out of context. That is the Protestant heresy. This Scripture verse says this, but if you take it in the context, it doesn't mean anything like what they presented. We have to take Scripture in context. And the Scriptures in context today of the second reading are temporal gifts, temporal things that we have, your stuff. Even the first reading from Isaiah. Isaiah notes that if you are blessed by the Lord, you will have sufficient things in this world. We'll get into how much we think is sufficient and how much God thinks is sufficient. But suffice it to say, if the Lord is blessing you, you will have what you need. You will have what you need and you should be content. And wherever he's put you in this life, as far as material stuff goes. Because we hear a whole lot about obedience to God. And we think that, oh, that's keeping the rules. It's not. Not only that. That's a big part of it. But another part of it is acquiescing to his will in our life. Where has he put you materially? Has he blessed your socks off with stuff? Or do you kind of struggle with stuff? St. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no matter what side of that you're on, you should be content. That's the context. We hear that verse all the time. People throw it out when bad things are going on in your lives. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yeah, it's true. Absolutely true. But in the context in which St. Paul uses it, he's talking about material possessions. Not possessions so much, but how you should approach wherever you are materially. You should be content. Because no matter where you may be, you can deal with it through him who strengthens you. This does not apply, what I'm saying, to the worldling, to the pagan. The heathen can never have enough stuff. Doesn't matter what that stuff is. You never have enough money, never have enough property. You never have enough girlfriends or boyfriends. Why? Because there is the proverbial hole in our soul that can only be filled with him who can fill all in all. It's an and him who can fill all in all is infinite. That hole that is within us is an infinite hole. There is an infinite depth to it, and there's not enough stuff in this world to fill it. That's why for the heathen, there's never enough. Doesn't matter how much it is, there's never enough. St. Paul says for us, be content with whatever it is because the hole in your soul is filled with the Holy Spirit. And when it is filled with the Holy Spirit, then the stuff, no matter how much or how little you have, you should be content in that. This is, again, the person who lives in Christ Jesus, the person who is identified with Christ Jesus our Lord. These people can do all things in the context of dealing with material lack or abundance. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. It is about him. It is about him being sufficient in our life. Then the stuff is secondary. I always point out about material, whenever you approach a discussion of the material, it's a matter of priorities. It is not evil to be rich, contrary to what you hear all the time in a whole lot of different Catholic circles. It is not evil to be rich, okay? The scriptures don't say that money is the root of all evils. It says that love of money is the root of all evils. It's not bad to be rich if you do what you're supposed to do with your stuff. It is not bad to be poor. But then again, it is not the end-all be-all of spirituality to be materially poor, contrary to what we hear a lot. Preferential treatment of the poor. Little newsflash, that was never even a term, that was terminology in Catholicism until the 1960s, a preferential treatment for the poor. You know, we should have a preferential treatment for the poor because why? Because they're poor materially? No, because poverty opens you up to a bunch of temptations, just as riches do. And temptations on either side of that fence are temptations that can put your soul in jeopardy. So we want to have a balance between those two things. We want to approach them with proper priorities. As I said before, the first reading tells us that the way the Lord manifests his blessings in our life is through giving us sufficient things in this life. For those of you who might be visiting today, oh, here we go with the homily on giving again. Ask people who have been here for the 5 years I've been here as pastor. I never preach homilies on giving. I don't preach homilies on giving when our bishop says that it would be a good thing to preach homilies on giving. Because my content, whether that's giving to the church or giving to the poor, I always point out that your giving should be the result of a proper personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you got a proper personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to give to the church and you're going to give to the poor. I don't have to preach about that. So I'll harp on your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, because if that's what it should be, I don't have to worry about the other stuff. I'm lazy. I'd make my life easier. Okay? We know from the scriptures, let's talk about giving. This is not a homily on giving. As a matter of fact, some people might not particularly care about what I have to say here. I don't mean you. I mean people that like to talk about giving a whole lot. The scriptures do tell us that our Lord Jesus Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. An interesting little footnote on that verse right there. We know from the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit tells us that Jesus said that. That we never once see in the gospel him saying that. We never know to whom he said it. Was it a big group? Was it a crowd? Was it at the Sermon on the Mount? We don't know. We don't know until the book of Acts that our Lord says it. But the Holy Spirit tells us that our Lord did say it. So it's sufficient to understand that our Lord teaches it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's talk about giving for a second. Sometimes there is a tremendously imbalanced way that we are taught to give. Sometimes it's canonically, we are supposed to hear a homily every time we come to Mass on Sundays and Holy Days of Obligation. He even says it's a good thing if you hear a homily every time you come to Mass. I guess it's up to others' determinations whose pay grade is higher than me that it, whether it's a homily or not, but I hear a lot of stories about, you know, you go into Mass every now and then, and on the big screen, you get to see 20 minutes of why you should give to a certain appeal. That's not a homily. Well, I guess some people might say it is, but I think that might be up to academic debate. But the bottom line is we get harped on giving a whole lot. Kind of interesting to look. I always say in this context of Scripture, and to know Scripture generally speaking, this is a little side note also. I'm not a prophet, but I can almost guarantee you that in a whole lot of parishes across the globe today, Philippians, let's talk about giving, because St. Paul lauds the Philippians for giving. Okay, what does St. Paul generally do when people give him stuff? He doesn't accept it. Can you imagine that one? Hey, I want to give to this appeal. Nope, I'm not going to accept it. Yeah, right. Okay. St. Paul, he generally does not accept gifts that are given him. Although he says, I could if I wanted because I deserve it. He says, I don't because I don't want to be beholden. I impart what the Lord has given me to impart to you, and I make tents. That's what St. Paul did. He was a tent maker. And he made tents with his own hands for his sufficiency. Okay, everything he needed, he bought himself because he worked. He didn't accept the alms that were given him from the church. You know, like that's generally the way St. Paul acted. In this case, he doesn't. He does accept the alms of the Philippians. And he says that he accepts them because he appreciates the fact that it is an act of spiritual worship for them to give alms. This is what I'm talking about. It's an act of worship. We don't give because someone tells us that there's this appeal or this appeal or this second offering or this. We shouldn't give because of that. We should give to those things, but not because I'm asking you for it, because it is an act of worship. We have to realize that when we give offerings to the church should receive those offerings in understanding, and you should give them an understanding that everything is his anyway. All right? But you don't hear it aloud in a sung mass like this one. But in the low masses, when there's an offering taken, there's a little acclamation given. And that acclamation says, all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. We're just managing his stuff in this little fleeting bit of time that we're here. That stuff's going to remain after we're long gone. It is scriptural. You can't take it with you, okay? You're just watching over it now. It's his stuff. So why would anybody begrudge giving him back a little bit of his stuff? Which, you know, lends the question, you know, well, how much? I get that one a lot. I won't even answer that question. How much should I get? I don't have to answer it. The scriptures talk about it. What does St. Paul talk about this spiritual act of worship? It's a spiritual partnership between us and God. He gives us spiritual and eternal blessings. It's really kind of interesting. We're talking about eternal blessings. He gives us eternal blessings, and we begrudge giving him stuff that's just ours temporarily. His blessings are eternal. But even his eternal blessings are manifest in our lives tangibly, the Eucharist. We receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity as Catholics of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Divinity itself is placed on our tongues. We take the Creator of all things into our very beings tangibly under the forms sacramental, bread and wine. But no longer bread and wine, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. Eternal but tangible. We can touch it. We can see it. Why? Why didn't Jesus just ascend into heaven and say, hey, you heard what I got to say. I've set y'all straight. I'll be back later. Just, you know, get together on Sundays and hear some scripture read. No. What our Lord tells us is, do this in remembrance of me. He doesn't say, hear a sermon in remembrance of me. He doesn't say, gather together in remembrance of me. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And he is speaking of the Eucharist. That's what we do in remembrance of him. It is something that we can touch, taste, hear, just like every other sacrament. Baptism, the form of water is used. The matter of water is used to show us that in a very real and objective sense, the Holy Spirit is being infused into us that was not there before as a result of our fallen nature. The sacraments show us what is a sacrament, what is the definition. It is an outward and visible sign of an inward real grace. God knows our frame. He knows that we need to see, smell, hear, taste stuff to make it real for us. That's why the sacraments, not to mention all the sacramentals we have, like holy water, the rosary, holy salt, you know, you name it. All those things are a tangible reality of part of our faith. When we understand that God has given us all these things, the only thing that we have to return, because we can't impart those things on us, that is not our place. We can't do it. So how can we respond? How can we reciprocate? By giving him back what we do have. And what is that? Stuff that he's given us. That's why Paul says it's an act of worship. He says it's a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. But look at those two things that he says about that. One, it's sacrificial. That's why I don't answer this question. Well, how much? This isn't the Old Testament, okay, where you give tithes of 10%. I mean, there are certain schema that we can look at and say, this is appropriate, this is a good guide for things. But it should be sacrificial, okay? For some people, $10 is, you know, I might have to skip lunch one day. I mean, there are people in this parish like that. $10, say, you know, oh my gosh, that's sacrificial. And it's a whole lot more meaningful to God than somebody who gives $1,000 at the end of the week, and it's pocket change for them. Okay? It's got to be sacrificial to make it a fragrant offering to God, to make it pleasing to him. Well, God doesn't care. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Not because I say, but because he says so. Does he not say, to whom much is given, much will be expected, both in a spiritual context and a material context? Okay? We have to appreciate this aspect of God. You know, God does work like that. The more you do for him, the better he likes it. Okay? That's really a no-brainer. Okay? I go to Mass on Sunday. That's good enough. Well, yeah, good enough. That's your obligation. He makes you do that, or you're in mortal sin. Okay? Is God pleased that you fulfill your obligation to him? Yeah, of course he is. Is he more pleased if you go to one or two more Masses during the week? Yes. Does it make him more happy if you go to Mass every day? Yes, it does. It pleases him more. Why? Because you're doing more for him. You're showing him that you love him that much more. You're showing your priorities. Oh, I could go out and eat lunch with my friends, or I could go to Mass. You show up to Mass, God knows. He can read your heart. He knows the deal. You've done something for him that you didn't have to do. That's sacrificial. And then the second part comes in where it is pleasing to him. He is very pleased with stuff like that. That is what we need to understand about our giving. Because not only is it a reciprocation for what he has done for us, which is glorious, there's even a consequence to him being pleased with your offering. It says, and my God will supply every need of yours. Do not read that, please, as if it says, and my God will supply everything you want. That's not what it says. it says that he will supply every need of yours. We, particularly in North America, think we need a lot more than we do. I used the analogy this morning, particularly one of our family. You know, after the last storm, you know, you lose power for 6 hours. Oh, gosh, I need my electricity. I need my AC. One of our families went 9 days. That was high end. One of our families went 9 days. Guess what? They're not emaciated. They're not all sallow. They look just the same as they did beforehand. Okay? They are proof positive that you don't need your hot water. You don't need your light. It's cool as all get out when it's working, but you don't need it. You do not need it. Ask people in Puerto Rico. Okay? They still don't. There's people that say they're not going to see their stuff for like months. Okay? Keep them in prayer. All right? Because people can get kind of cranky when they don't have what they think they need. But guess what? Most of them will all be alive because you really don't need what you think you do. And it says here that God will supply every need of yours. He will supply that every need according to his riches. And his riches are his understanding of what you need. And he might determine that you need something one day that you don't need the next. That is what St. Paul is, where he's going with this whole be content in whatever situation. I might bless your socks off for years, maybe decades. And then guess what? I want you to work on your humility a little bit. And where you used to have the, you know, 17 bathroom mansion somewhere, something went wrong and you got to flop at your relative's house. That's humility. Sometimes we need stuff like that. Guess what? You got what you need. You got a roof over your head, a little bit of food in your belly, and you try to get back up on your feet. You should be content because that's the Lord's will for your life in that certain place. So learn the lesson. Learn the lesson, move on, be content. Because at the end of the day, no matter where we are, we should end with what St. Paul talks about. And St. Paul had a rough road to hoe. He was in want quite frequently. He was in danger quite frequently. He was in jail quite frequently. But after everything, he says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. That's what we need to do. We need to be able to say that we give him the glory for whatever, in whatever situation we find ourselves. To God, our Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is what we should be able to say at the end of every day, whether your AC is working or not, you got a roof over your head, a little bit of food in your belly. That should be sufficient because that's what you need. We got to jump tracks, understand the difference between wants and needs. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.